Thank you so much, Carla. Good morning, everybody. The first hymn is number 9 in Voices Together. It's up here. Come Away from the Rush and Hurry. And I think I just picked this for me. Potluck Sunday and trying to get everything together for 10 o'clock. I just find it's very stressful. So we're going to decompress now. And Carla certainly has started things off beautifully. So let us stand and sing together, Come Away from Rush and Hurry.
Good morning, everybody, to this worship service this morning. Almost spring-like. We hate to say it because it's only beginning of February, but the sun sure is brighter and gives a bit more hope for what's to come. Every day is a day to be thankful. Thankful for what we have and who we are. Even though some days we don't feel very thankful, it takes a lot of effort to get through the day. We are thankful. Psalm 108 says, Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praise to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is higher than the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Join me in the call to worship in your bulletin, and it's actually the lyrics of a hymn in the Voices Together. We don't know the hymn, maybe someday we'll learn it, but I found the lyrics very meaningful. Life giver, maker, God of all, your breath sustains creation.
Your arms enfold the universe. It's a
constellation. Yet when we gather in this place, we know your nearness, your embrace. You make your home among us. Here we become your living church. We learn and claim your vision. We are the hands and feet of Christ, empowered, blessed for mission. Your Spirit fills the church, each part. Your Spirit dwells in every heart. You make your home among us. We hold your gifts in open hands to offer peace and healing. We leave this place to share our bread, your tender care revealing. Thus, through us, may your love be shown. Through us, this truth to all be known. You make your home among us. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your assurance that you are with us here in this place and wherever we are. Remind us of who we are and that we have a purpose to reach out to our neighbors and friends and strangers. Bless our time here as we worship together. Amen.
Let us praise God together in song, and we are going to start off with number 28 in Voices Together. And again, the lyrics are up here. You'll be quite familiar with it. Come, Christians, join to sing. Please stand if you can. Good singing. We will now turn to number 100 in the blue hymn book. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if there are any ushers who would come and take the offering plates around, please. Thank you. Let us pray. Accept these humble gifts, we pray, and in our hearts forever stay. With these gifts, may you bring peace that suffering, want, and war may cease. Amen.
We are now going to sing We Have Been Sent by God, and the lyrics are up here. So just to avoid confusion, I'm just going to go through the order of things. It goes, we have been sent by God with our hands prepared to serve, and we build along with God a family here on earth. And then we repeat that. Then we go on to the next section. The angels are not sent to change this world. We go through that, and then we come back and repeat, the angels are not sent. And Ken is going to join us here, and apparently Elaine. So we've got a whole meal deal here. Thank you so much.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 112, and I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. The blessings of the righteous. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. Thus far.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I suppose I should begin with an explanation of what that title is. Some of you are no longer curious because you did what most people of this generation tend to do. You Googled it. And if you Googled that, you, and some might even have looked, I hope, on Google for the pronunciation. I'm going to attempt it. It is dégustation. In my outrageous French accent, dégustation. What a strange title for a sermon. If you prefer the English version means tasting menu. Yeah, that's what we're going to have this morning and this afternoon. No, before noon. Our potluck will begin before noon, but this is a tasting menu. Now, a tasting menu, it simply means that the cook or the chef, whoever is preparing the food, is bringing out very small portions. It won't even fill you up. But of each dish, you come around and you have one tiny little portion of something or other. This is what I have prepared for you. Here, eat it. Two little bites and you say, oh, it's so delicious, wonderful. And then you wait and the next course comes around and the next and the next and the next. It can be as many as the cook or the chef wants. Now, why would you bring that into a sermon on a Sunday morning? We are here to worship. We're here to do serious things. And I want to present to you that the serious things we're doing today are bite-sized. They are like a tasting menu. And some of us prefer one taste or one flavor over another. We don't all like or prefer or want or even need exactly the same thing. Different things will speak to us differently. And I'm hoping that we recognize that this morning. In the text, in our lives, and in the challenge that we have in going out of here. Because it's not all just what we can collect in our brains here this morning. How smart are we in our worship? But how does it affect us when we go out into our daily practices? Because we all go to different places. We meet totally different people, and we have totally different challenges. So how can we be the people of God in the challenges that we face? Maybe even Sunday afternoon, Monday morning, throughout the week. So maybe this variety that we see here today will help us take a taste of this, take a bite of that, and maybe each of us will remember and carry something different. But that's what we have here today, a tasting menu. And I love this psalm. It's not going to be the only and the complete portion of scripture that I'm using today, but I want to look at it. I would love for you to have your Bibles open. If you look at Psalm 12, you probably won't see that each line begins with a different Hebrew letter. Doesn't show up in our English version. But that's really cool if we're thinking about a tasting menu or something bite-sized. The writer has written in that way. Just one line starts with the first Hebrew letter, and then the second line, the second Hebrew letter, and all the way to the end of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters. Now, you'll be saying, well, there's only 10 verses. Yes, you are right. The lines differ in the English to the Hebrew. But that was how it was written. Hey, it's almost Valentine's Day. And do you remember making those cards for your friends or for your mothers or whomever you want? And you would write Valentine down the side of the card. Jennifer, are any of your kids going to be doing that this week or next week? You take the V as first, and then you write a line or something beautiful with V, and then A, and you know what I mean, right? Or on Mother's Day, we used to do that. What's a mother? And you go M-O-T-8 all the way down. This psalmist is so smart and so clever to be able to say, I want to express my feelings, my deep feelings about God by writing this. It's an acrostic, right? That's what that is? Yeah. By writing line by line, something that I really cherish and love about God. Oops, I got ahead of myself. This psalm is actually about the righteous. It's about us. Did you notice that? It starts with praise the Lord. And that's where I want us to start. The flavor palette of this whole menu begins with the praise of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A couple of weeks ago, we heard that a lot here in our building, and some people tend to do that. I heard on the radio, I'm just driving along, you know, thinking my own thoughts, worrying about these other crazy drivers, and then all of a sudden on the radio, somebody said, praise the Lord, and I thought, oh, yeah, right. It brings you back to where you're supposed to be centered. Praise the Lord. The flavor that we carry around is centered on praising the Lord. Rejoice and be glad in the Lord. That's where justice begins. When we who know God do not praise God, if we are not full of the praise and adoration of God, then nothing else becomes the justice of God. Nothing else that we do is actually flowing out of that. Then it just becomes, we want to look like good people. We want to look like upright and just people. It needs to begin with the flavor. The flavor palette is rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Praise God. That's how the psalmist begins. I do want to give you another little tidbit. Go back to Psalm 111. And if you're, you know, holding your Bible, you can just flip the page or look. And it's almost the same length, isn't it? It's another acrostic. The writer did exactly the same thing, used the same Hebrew alphabet, and this is the one, it starts with praise the Lord, and he used the Hebrew alphabet and said things about God according to the alphabet. Some of you like to do word games and things like that. I would challenge you, try and do that with the English alphabet. Put your ABCs down the side of a page and try to write a line, a phrase that flows out of your love of God for each letter of the alphabet. It's a good habit. So Psalm 111 is the wonders of God according to the Hebrew alphabet. Then you go to Psalm 112. And these are the righteous people who follow this righteous God. And this is what they look like, a bite at a time. And very visible and practical. I loved the way Peggy read it. She read it very methodically, as if she actually believed it. Not like, oh, this is a really nice poem, listen to this. But no. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, this is not what is that called? Not success gospel. What is that? Prosperity. Thank you. Prosperity gospel. No. The righteous who are following and praising God have full houses, but full of something different. They rise in the darkness as light. They deal well and generously and lend. They conduct their affairs with justice. These are solid, visible, public examples of people who actually love and praise God. So if you want something visible and practical and what we actually should do, look at that. Take a little bite-sized piece here and there and say, where is my challenge today? So that's our flavor palette. We begin with this. Rejoice and be glad. And out of that comes, flip over to your New Testament, the next passage that I really want to look at, and don't worry, I'm only going to look at one verse. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 20. And of course, I'll start at verse 12, even though I said 13. Because verse 12 sets the platform again, here it says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Referring to all of the things that can happen to you, the trials, the persecution, the misunderstandings, rejoice and be glad. The flavor palette of the true believer is rejoicing and being glad in the midst of everything. Then we move on. And suddenly we have a different look at who we are. This doesn't sound like what Psalm 112 said that we were. And here, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Oh, people, salt for the kingdom of God. Right? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you feel great when we sing that song? At least one person does. I know I do, and we sing these nice, happy things about ourselves. We feel good about ourselves. The thing about verse 13 is horrible. Look at this. And here is the chef who is saying to the chef's people, this is what I am making. This is what I have created. You are the salt of the earth, semicolon, but. Ay, ay, ay. But if means maybe it will happen and maybe it won't. If is such a small word and we just race over it. If, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Didn't I just preach a whole bunch of sermons on restoration? All through Advent, restoration, restoration, restoration. And now this text seems to be implying there's hopelessness here. How can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything. It's thrown out and trampled underfoot. Wow. This is serious. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, it is good for nothing. It is no longer good. It is no longer good. It's useless. It is thrown out and trampled. Now, there's another sermon or a whole other series of sermons. What does that mean? Thrown out and trampled, no good for anything, hopeless, useless? Where is the hope in this message? Where is the praise the Lord? Okay, let's back up to that. We begin with the love of God that elicits out of us praise God. And if we lose that flavor, we become something. So if it's salty, you become saltless. Now, of course, we can go into the whole salt adds flavor. It's for preservation. It's also for purifying. We know this. Salt that loses its saltiness becomes flavorless, foolish, and lost its strength. Did anybody wake up? Did anybody wake up? Did you hear that word that seemingly I threw in? But I didn't throw it in. It's actually the meaning of the word for the saltlessness. Foolish? Salt becomes foolish when you lose that saltiness. That word also means foolish. We become foolish. We become foolish. Flat, tasteless, insipid. In fact, the Greek word, which I won't try to pronounce, I have the pronunciation in my head, but it won't make any sense to you, but that word is from the root of moron. Moron. That word of salt losing its flavor, it becomes flavorless. We become like morons. Stupid. What an idiot. Yeah, it's okay to laugh, John. We become that stupid if we lose our saltiness. When I realized that, and I realized I can become like that, that can be the description of me, then the next question necessarily must be, how? Oh my, how on earth is that going to happen? What did I do? What haven't I done? And if I don't take care, I suddenly get all frantic and I want to build up my own self-righteousness and I want to make sure it doesn't happen. So I just add on and add on. I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to be this, I've got to be here, I've got to take care of everything. And this is the opposite of how Marcia opened our service of worship, isn't it? Isn't it? And it's through the scripture itself or our interpretation of the scripture that we push ourselves to this rush and hurry, and it's not at all what we're invited to do. If we back up and we say our flavor palette begins with rejoice and be glad. Okay, be glad in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And that is how your saltiness will be maintained when we begin with that. How do we lose it? Well, let's look at some other places. Here's another part of your tasting menu. Other places where this foolishness aspect comes into play. When people who were not foolish have become foolish, because that's what happened here. You are the salt, and if the salt becomes saltless, it's a process from salty to no longer salty. 2 Samuel 24, verse 10. The same word is used, the same idea, and it's in the mouth of David. David, the one who wrote all so many of these psalms, the one who was the man after God's own heart, genuine, true, strong. And David says in his own words, no one else said he is, but he said, oh, I have acted foolishly. I have acted foolishly. It was when he had taken the census of all of Israel. He started counting the people of Israel. What's wrong with that? It begins to say, how mighty am I? Let me check my grade point average. Let me check my accolades. Let me check my trophy counter. Let me check all of the things that I have done. That's what David was doing, and he said, in the end, I was stupid. I became foolish in doing that. Isaiah 19, verse 11 and 13, God says of different nations, they have become foolish. These nations, these people have become foolish because they're following things that are not me. Following things, chasing things that are not God. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, it all comes back to Romans. All roads lead to Rome. Not as easy to say as you might think. All roads lead to Rome. Romans 1, verse 22 says, claiming to be wise, they became fools So how did the salt lose its saltiness? They became fools. So back up, verse 19. What can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown them. People know God. We know God. It's plain. It's obvious. God is amazing. Amen? Yeah. Okay. An amen I can get. It's plain to them. God has shown it to them ever since the creation of the world. His eternal power. Divine nature. Do we know God? Do we rejoice in God? The catechism used to say, love God. What is the chief aim of man? Human. Love God and enjoy him forever. That is what we are created for. Love God and enjoy God forever. Enjoy God. Now some of you are like, enjoy God. Yes. Praise God. Rejoice in God. And when our faith, when our belief system doesn't stem out of that, we become like the righteousness of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And in that Matthew passage, I stopped at that first verse, but at the end of it, it says, unless, and I wag my finger, unless your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Unless you have better righteousness than them, you're not going to see heaven. So don't just add, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to show that. Whatever it is, back up. God's divine nature, what do you believe about God? Do you remember that little story about those who had gotten talents, and some of them did this and some of them did that with their talents, and one buried the talent? And then afterwards, why? Why did you just bury that talent? Well, I knew that you were a harsh master. I knew that you blah, 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 blah. Because of this person's vision of who God is, they acted out of that vision. Now God is saying, rejoice and be glad. Know the true nature of God. Here Romans says, you know the true nature of God. You look at that sunrise. You look at the glistening off of the snow. Every time you open your eyes, you see this amazing beauty and newness and all-pervasiveness of God. And yet, no, I'm going to look at my bank account. I'm going to look at my job description. I'm going to look at my neighbors and see that my house is better than theirs, and on and on. Though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God. That's what Romans says. They did not, verse 21, they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. See how simple this is? See how simple? They didn't even give thanks to God. Have you ever given someone something and they didn't even say thank you? Has that ever happened to you? How do you feel? They didn't even say thank you. We don't give thanks to God. And then they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. This is the process of saltlessness. Don't honor God. Don't give thanks. Claim a wisdom of their own. Suppress the truth. That's how we become saltless. However, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1 talks about the foolishness of God. Foolishness of God. And when we become futile in our thinking, suddenly God's processes seem foolish. That doesn't make sense, so I'm not going to believe it anymore. It's a dangerous road to travel. The best way to preserve our minds, our hearts, our very being, begins with rejoice and be glad in the very nature of the God that we have come to worship. Put a smile on your face. Know the nature, the divine nature of our God. And then the danger of becoming so foolish will not be something that you need to be worried or concerned about. Always step back into the nature of God. Claim God's wisdom for God's people. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lois, for your words today. And as you sing, "We are the salt," or "You are the salt of the earth," please put a smile on your face. Put those hymn books up. Haven't said that for quite a long time, but I will say it today. So please stand and join in the singing, please.
Bow for the benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in all ways. The Lord be with all of you. Amen.
We will now sing "As You Go Out" from here, and we will go through it two times. So we'll see you all downstairs for potluck following the service.
Come on.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.